Happy Friday. Welcome to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you. And yesterday we had a great show, probably our best show ever. But I don't know. Now we got to run for its money. We got a real dandy this morning. We're going to talk a lot of local history and world history and kind of how that's going to merge together. We got Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins, Elena Parker, Riley County Historical Museum Curator of Design. Also, Judd Dunham, the PIO for K-State's Division of Communications and Marketing. Later in the show, last segment, we'll have Michael Crisp, a student in physics and computer engineering at KSU, talk about tomorrow's March for Science. But right now, we're going to talk some history. Good morning, everybody.
Good welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Cheryl, I'll go ahead and have you kind of just set up what our topic is today.
Well, we thought we would talk a little bit about World War I and related things today. On Tuesday, Jed spoke to the Riley County Historical Society about the 1918 influenza pandemic, and that had a direct bearing and connection to World War I. And of course, we have a new World War I exhibit at the Riley County Historical Museum, and so we've gotten really interested in those issues and thought it'd be a fun thing to talk about today.
For sure. So I guess where do we start, really? Jed, I'll leave that to you.
Well, let's start right here in Riley County and start with the Historical Society. They have a beautiful display that goes back and really highlights Riley County's influence and participation in this global event that kind of hit America by surprise, and the evolution that the nation undertook in the 19 months of the war was just dramatic and, unbelievable. And to have Riley County, when you look at history and you look at it from a global perspective, you're like, oh, where does the local flavor land? And when you're going through the museum and you see the names, you see the artifacts, you see the photographs, the recognizable imagery, and it's just a very local, real connection to a global event. And I think that's where we could probably start, just kind of see where the local ties are and why we should be paying attention to them today as well.
And your interest in it started with a local connection. You might mention how you became interested in World War I.
Sure. Well, I've always been fascinated with history. And I was a student here at K-State, and a few years ago, and I've told the story many times, but a few years ago, I came back to K-State for a reunion. And I was walking into Memorial Stadium by the plaque, which is dedicated to the 48 K-State students who lost their lives while serving the nation in the First World War. And I just took a picture of it. And I went back to my home in New Hampshire and went through all the photos I took that weekend, landed on the picture of the plaque, and this curiosity came over. I was like, who were these people? What happened to them? So I thought, very simple, just put it into the internet and something would come back. And they had all vanished. So there was nothing, I couldn't find anything on any of them. And that lit the fire that I said, who are these people? What actually happened? So a deep dive into history, some peripheral accounts kind of gave you some clues. And long story short, I was able to come up with the individual stories of all 48 K-State students who died in the First World War. And their stories were just so fascinating and such a national treasure that I couldn't keep them to myself. And so I reached out to K-State. There was obviously a tremendous audience and deep curiosity here at K-State. Came back, shared these stories throughout the community, throughout campus. Every time, people were like, wow, what is that? Let's learn more. Culminated last spring in the formal dedication of World War I Memorial Stadium, an event that was just, really and something that, we needed to do. But it really was just a beautiful moment that kind of connected us to our past and, realize that, Jesus, we're really close. And that's kind of it's a beautiful story. So that's kind of how it started for me. And I relocated back to Manhattan, and, we're still telling these stories. So.
And Elena, if you want to talk a little bit about the display and exhibit that the museum has right now pertaining to World War I.
Yeah, so we opened this World War I exhibit. It would have been November 2017, so last November. And it was a perfect way to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the United States entry into World War I, which was April 6, 1917. So we were commemorating that, and we will have this exhibit up through this November 2018, which will commemorate 100 years since the signing of the armistice, which is Veterans Day today. So we have the Riley County Historical Society has a wonderful collection, several donors who have donated family artifacts that relate to World War I. And one of the more prominent artifacts that we have on display It's about 7 feet long. It's about 5 feet tall, and it is the Riley County service flag. And on this service flag are the hand-painted names of the 1,009 Riley County soldiers who served during World War I. So it is incredible, and it's a neat story that required a little bit of research. We do have a panoramic photograph, you know, those large panoramics, and it's a photograph, and it's the dedication of the service plaque. They call it, it's a plaque, but they refer to it as a flag in the papers. And this photograph is right outside the Riley County Courthouse. And you can see hundreds of individuals who are lined up outside the courthouse. And you can see where the Wareham Hotel would later be built. And you see this large plaque that's in the background. And I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's just a large board. And it's probably, I would say, 16 feet tall. And it had the names of 865 soldiers. So we look at this photograph that has the 865. We look at our service plaque that had 1,009. We're trying to figure out where that difference came. So in going through the papers, we found that that service plaque that was dedicated in 1918, which when this photograph was taken, it had become so weather-worn from being outside, which in Kansas weather makes sense, didn't last very long. So they created a second smaller one in 1920, which is the one we have on display, and added the names of the additional soldiers who had not been placed on that original plaque. So this one had been placed in the Riley County Courthouse. They got a little smarter this time and actually put it indoors, and then it was donated to the Riley County Historical Society around the mid-1980s. So that is one of those feature pieces when you come into the exhibit that really catches your eye. So if you have any relatives that served during World War I in Riley County, you could come in and take a look and see if their names are on that board. And it is very humbling to look at. You look at all these hand-painted names, and in the center, there's a star that has that 1,009 number on it, and then the gold stars and silver stars of those who were killed in action or wounded in battle.
And it's really interesting when you think about World War One that we've reached in the last couple of years. We've reached a lot of 100-year sort of marks.
Yes.
And it really is interesting to look back 100 years ago. It almost gets to that point where it was long enough ago that myth and legend and historical facts start to just kind of merge, because there's not really anybody alive anymore that experienced it. It has to be really interesting to research.
Oh, yes. And you find all kinds of stories and even the connections that relate to the Spanish influenza that directly affected Manhattan. And even this event of the dedication of the service plaque, they actually had to postpone it a month because you could not congregate. They wanted to discourage that as much as possible. So this large event that they had planned, they had to push back a month because they were worried about the spread of influenza. And Jed has researched that extensively. And so it's neat to see where those different connections are. And
yeah, it's a fascinating story. Is truly what it is. It's a human story that is deeply connected. So just to touch on the plaque, you know, I always say the challenge of history is to take those stories, those black and white images, and place them into our context, you know, so that we can understand. So when you walk in, you see a plaque, you're like, oh, what does that mean? But when you really dive deeper and you see those names and the families that are attached to the names, and you see the impact that it had on this community. I mean, just from 11th Street to 3rd Street on Leavenworth alone, here in Manhattan, Kansas, five families sent soldiers to the war, and not all of them came back. And it's, you know, so it really has an extremely powerful impact onto how the experience of Manhattan during 1917, 1918. But then, you know, these thousand, you know, that's 1,000 families, and each one of those families had connections and whatnot. So it really took 1,000 people out of the community and sent them all across the globe. I mean, it wasn't just the Western Front where these guys went to. And, you know, so it just had a tremendous upheaval to this relative easy peace that Manhattan and the United States had been experiencing while Europe was, you know, deeply thrown into this, you know, terrible war for 3 and 4 years before the United States came in. So it's kind of taken these events and you try to always place them, you know, how did that affect something personally? What actually happened here? And, you know, speaking of Manhattan, you know, a lot of these soldiers went to war as part of the Kansas National Guard. And Company I of the 137th Infantry Regiment, which is currently just got deployed, I think, last week or a week or two ago, you know, that lineage traces itself all the way back to here in Manhattan, Kansas, where, you know, they were camped out in the city park until they were, you know, they had all the orders to go to Oklahoma to get trained. And the first, you know, military parade here in Kansas was those soldiers you know, from Manhattan, you know, the Manhattan Company leaving their camp in the city park, marching down Point Street to the train station to take them off to Oklahoma, where they trained outside Fort Sill at Camp Donovan. And then they went over, you know, a few months later, they went to the war, and they just experienced these exceptionally horrifying events that, you know, they trained for a year, and their war, you know, for that particular company lasted a few hours. And then hearing how that, you know, news came back, you know, through these letters that the soldiers in the hospitals had written, because all the, you know, the news had been, you know, obviously it wasn't as quickly, you know, translated back and forth across the continent, but the news hits Manhattan through letters from soldiers in the hospital saying, Company I got, you know, something happened. And this was this Meuse-Argonne offensive towards the, you know, the latter part of the war that were just, you know, you just really have to put yourself into that, you know, we're feverishly, you know, hungry for information. You know, that's never changed. That's a human element. You know, here we can catch it on Twitter and our emails and text messages. But think back in 1918 when you have families, 1,000 families, you know, in the war, and news comes back through letters that something happened to our guys.
And so I just think much later.
Absolutely.
Not very yet.
A few weeks after. So it's just a really, you know, just a power. And when you put yourself into that kind of context, it really makes the story come
alive.
Well,
and sometimes they made mistakes.
Yes. And that's looking at the service plaque. And that's just such a great jumping off point, because you can look at any name on that plaque and find some information on that person. And we know three of the men on there, and there may be more, it was actually falsely reported that they had died during the war. So that is reported back to their families. And if, you know, they couldn't be found after a battle, they were thought to be dead. One in particular, his name is Vernon Bates, and he is listed on that service plaque, and we have some artifacts that relate to him, his dog tag, but it was reported back here to Manhattan that he had died of disease. And it, as you were mentioning, it takes a while for those letters to get there, and the family had received a letter not long before that, and they thought, well, that's not possible. We just received a letter from him. So it did turn out that he was alive and well, and did come back here to Manhattan. And I think he passed away. It was in the 1970s, and he is buried in Sunset Cemetery. But it's these guys that experience these things. They come back and they live their lives. They have to pick up the pieces after witnessing what they did. But like I said, you could take any name on that plaque and just find these very unique stories.
It had to be interesting for him seeing his name on the plaque when he got back.
Well, it's, in some of those cases, they actually had the funeral. And, you know, there was a case of an Ogden family, one of the men who's actually George Wingate, whose name is on the K-State plaque. And the word had come back that he had died and with another friend, and they actually had the funerals for both of them. And then the other one was found in a prisoner of war camp at the end of the war. And they're like, geez, you know, what happens here? So it's a very, you know, fascinating human story.
Very, very interesting. And you know what? Let's go. When we come back from this break, we'll talk about the influenza tie-in.
Absolutely.
A little tease for our listeners. Come back, more in focus after this.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.